You know, you don't really know someone until you fought them to the death.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of League Lore and More. We continue our Ionia series today with the boss, otherwise known as Set, or Cetrig, as his full name. Release date is the 14th of January in 2020, so a very recent champion in terms of... that was 3.5 years ago, but, in terms of the amount of champions that have been released since then, he's still a very new champion. He is a juggernaut fighter tank. He is a shredded, chiseled, punk looking, teenager / young adult ish. Probably early 20s now. He's massively buff, and his whole shtick is punching you in the face. He does not use mana or energy. He has no ability cost. But he accumulates something called grit when he takes damage. Just quickly through his abilities, like his Q is just him punching you for more damage than normal, pretty much, with just a couple other like bonuses perked in. His W is what his grit is for. He will convert any built up grit into a shield and damage based on if the he gains a shield, and then he does damage in a range in front of him, this is just empowered by his grit. His E is he pulls enemies in from all sides. It's called Facebreaker, so he kind of pulls you in by your face and smashes faces together. And then his ultimate is called the Showstopper. He will pick someone up, and he basically suplexes them or like RKOs them into their team, or just he carries them back a distance. And if he lands and slams them down amongst like their teammates, it'll do damage to those teammates as well. Set is one of 21 champions to not have any ability power ratio on any of his abilities. So any ability power built on him will have zero effect. So you built him tanky and with like attack damage items instead of ability power. He's like famous and more popular because of his dance, is him doing sit-ups, and you can make them go faster, the more you do it. Set is, as a leader of Ionia's growing criminal underworld, Set rose to prominence in the wake of the war with Noxus. Though he began as a humble challenger in the fighting pits of Navori, he quickly gained notoriety for his savage strength and his ability to take seemingly endless amounts of punishment. Now having climbed through the ranks of local combatants, Set has muscled to the top, reigning over the pits he once fought in. So he is a fighting pit ringleader, and probably some other nefarious activities. So he's kind of this local strongman type figure. We'll find he has some redeeming qualities, to outdo, running a fighting pit where people routinely die or get maimed. We will kind of cover all that going forward in the biography and the story. So I hope you all enjoy it. And of course, like always, I hope you all learn something.
The boss is here. Hold your applause. Seriously, be quiet.
Set, the boss. Though now a powerful player in Ionia's flourishing criminal underworld, Set had humble origins. Born from an Ionian Vestaya and a Noxian human, the half-beast child was an outcast from the start. His birth appalled his mother's Vestayan community, which expelled the family for violating its tribal norms. The humans of Ionia were no more accepting of the taboo union, though Set's father's infamy as a local pit fighter usually kept them from voicing their disapproval. What little security the family enjoyed vanished the day Set's father disappeared. All of a sudden, those who had bitten their tongues at the sight of young Set felt free to express their contempt. The boy was bewildered, wondering where his father had gone and why trouble suddenly seemed to be following him. Set grew up quickly, becoming calloused in the face of the taunts and threats he endured, and before long he began using his fists to silence the insults. When news of his fights reached his mother, she made him swear not to go near the Noxian pits where his father had fought. But the more Set fought, the more he thought of his father. Longing to find the man he only vaguely remembered, Set snuck away to the pit late one night after his mother had gone to bed. Immediately, he was enthralled by the spectacle. Scores of Noxian soldiers, fresh to the shores of Ionia, roared with bloodlust from the stands around him. Down in the center of the arena, fighters from all backgrounds and martial disciplines clashed in gruesome duels with a variety of weapons. The winners handsomely paid in Noxian coin. When the event was over, Set inquired about his father and learned a hard truth. His father had bought out his contract and left to tour more profitable pits abroad. He had deserted his family to seek fortune on the other side of the world. Burning with rage, Set asked the arena's matchmaker for a fight, hoping that somehow his father would return from his tour and be the opponent standing across the pit from him. The matchmaker assigned the boy a fight on the next card, figuring he would be easy fodder for one of his star combatants. Set would prove him wrong. From the moment he threw his first punch, the beast boy bastard was a pit-fighting sensation. Though Set had no formal martial arts training, his primal strength and ferocity more than compensated, and he leveled his more technically sound opponents like a battering ram. Never abandoning hope that he might one day fight his father, he soon became the undisputed king of the pit, with a swollen coffer of prize money and a trail of broken opponents to his name. Night after night, Set brought money and comforts to his mother, always lying about how he had acquired them. It warmed his calloused heart to see her so proud of his success, no longer forced to toil at menial jobs. Still, Set couldn't help but feel he could do better. Being the king of the pit was good, but being the person who owned the pit, that was where the real money was. Late one night, after defending his title in front of a record-breaking crowd, Set presented his new demands to the Noxian matchmaker and his cronies. He suggested they grant him control of the arena and its revenue. When they refused, Set barred the doors. Minutes later, the doors reopened and the Noxians emerged, badly maimed with a message on their bloodied lips. The half-beast was the new boss. With the promoters out of the picture, Set took control of the pit he once fought in. Ionians who had only recently been conditioned for war flocked to the arena, paying to satisfy an urge they only now knew they possessed. Set took full advantage of their newfound bloodlust, accumulating wealth and power beyond his wildest boyhood dreams, as he transformed the pit into the hub of an underground empire of gambling and vice. The half-beast who reigns supreme in the pit now runs his illicit enterprises with the same iron fist. Anytime someone challenges his authority, he personally reminds them where they stand. Every punch Set throws is a blow to his old life of poverty and ostracism, and he intends to make sure that old life stays down.
They say you learn a lot from a beating. If that's true, I've made the whole world smarter.
Set's story is called Big Head, Bad News by John O'Brien. Who's watching the till? I ask. Sherup, the stick of a man taking weapons at the door, looks at me with bug eyes, scared he's done something wrong. Rio's on the till tonight, he says. Get two more on it, I tell him. It's a big night. Lots of spenders. Last thing I need is some lowlife making off with the profit. Sherp scurries off. A couple seconds later, he comes back with two of my heaviest hitters. After they join Rio at the coin box, I check back on the action in the arena. The place is packed, crammed to the doors with nobodies, somebodies, and everyone in between. People with nothing much in common except a hankering for blood. And they're about to get it. My star combatant, Prawn the Flayer, has just finished his long, sauntering entrance. His chiseled body is painted entirely green, and he wears a small buckler on his left forearm. His infamous whip sword, painted to look like a viper, remains coiled on his belt as he enters the pit to face his opponent. The challenger? Some Shuriman guy. Is it Farran? Farrell? I'll learn his name if he wins. Stares a hole in him, his hands up by his shoulders, itching to grab the twin daggers sheathed on his back. He's come halfway around the world for this, and he'll be damned if some local golden boy is going to show him up. With a wave of the pit officer's scarf, our show is on. The fighters circle each other in the center of the floor, always the entertainer. Flair draws the whip sword and snaps it all around his body. He's one of about 8 people in the world who can do this without cutting his own face off, and he loves to show it off. Insulted by the taunt, the Shuriman draws his daggers. He sprints across the pit, throwing himself into a whirl of blades, slicing the wind at unnatural angles. Flair is surprised, but not off guard. He parries a dagger with his buckler, throwing the Shuriman off balance for a split second. It feels like an eternity. The Shuriman's body is turned off kilter, hands by his waist, his entire torso, a wide open target. In a single fluid movement, the Flayer swings his whip sword clean across the throat of his opponent. The Shuriman drops to the floor in a growing pool of his own blood. The crowd erupts. How's that till? I shout to the boys in the back. Got it, boss, replies Sherup as the eager throng swarm the vestibule to settle their bets. Back down on the floor, I see the pit crew loading the Shuriman onto the corpse cart. A few feet away, Flair celebrates with some of his fans. He's got a look on his face. I know it well. It's not relief, not contentment. He's getting a big head, and it's going to be bad news. About an hour later, the crowd has gone home, and the till has been emptied and counted. Just when I'm saying goodnight to the crew, guess who stops me at the door? It's the Flayer. He's holding a fat bag of coin, but he don't look happy. Says he's got a bone to pick. Here we go. I ask him what's the problem. He just won big in front of a record-breaking crowd. He says that's just it. He drew a record-breaking crowd. He should get a cut of the till. My till. Now, I understand where he's coming from. Same place I was coming from when I took over this whole thing. But just because I understand what a fellow wants don't mean I gotta give it to him. I tell the Flayer no. Then the guy blows up. He starts telling me how lucky I am to have him in my pit. Do you know how many people in the world can do what I do? He asks. 9. 9. Huh. Guess they must have added one, I say. He keeps mouthing off. Says I've gotten fat and I don't remember what it's like to risk my neck in the pit. By this point, a bunch of my crew is starting to listen in. Seeing how I can't have people thinking I'm soft, I figure it's a good time to remind Flair who's the boss and who's the employee, but he's not having it. You're just some washed-up ex-champ in a fur coat telling us real fighters what to do, he says. Anybody could do your job. That does not sit well with me. I tell Flayer we can go toe-to-toe in the pit and he'll find out just how much of a fighter I still am. I guess at this point he feels like he can't back down because he accepts my offer. If I win, I take your pit and all that comes with it, he says. I nod. He waits like he's expecting me to add my own stipulations, as if he's got anything I'd want. All I ask is that we do it in front of a crowd. Let's get paid for it. Fight night comes and there's so many people on hand, they're spilling out the doors of the arena. I've got five of my heavies on the till tonight. I walk out to the pit, drums beating, crowd roaring, and see the Flares standing across from me, green and hot-headed as ever. My Vestayan sense of decency kicks in. I tell him all he's got to do is tell this arena full of people how wrong he was to disrespect me, and we can call off the fight. He spits on the ground and angrily cracks his whip sword overhead. He ain't backing down. By the time the pit official waves his scarf, the Flayer is halfway across the floor. He flings his whip sword at me, and before I can react, the shifty little cuss takes off a piece of my cheek. He snaps it a couple more times, coming dangerously close to my throat. Then, while I'm trying to deal with this weird floppy blade, he nails me in the face with his buckler. I land flat on my back, seeing double. He draws his whip sword back. We're not even a minute into this, and already Flayer is going for the kill. This ain't happening. His blade comes lashing at my neck once more, and this time I grab it with my bare hand. Flayer's eyes bulge from his dumb green face. My blood gets pumping. My hair stands on end. I feel a little growl escape from the corner of my mouth. I barely feel the blade cutting into my palm or the blood running down my forearm. As I stand and pull the Flayer by his sword, yanking him into my other fist. I repeat the motion a few more times, my brass knuckle duster chewing his face to pulp. When I finally stop punching, he coughs out a tooth and tells me I'm making the biggest mistake of my life. "What are you doing? I'm your biggest draw," he says. "Flayer, you're losing to a washed-up ex-champ. Who's going to pay to see you fight now?" With his last ounce of energy, he hawks a big mouthful of blood into my face, right there in front of the gods and everybody. I can't have an arena full of people thinking I'm not the boss, so I pick the guy up by the throat and slam him hard as I can, smashing his greedy fat head deep into the floor of the pit. He twitches for a second, then stops. The crowd eats it up. Late that night, I stop by Mama's house like usual. She's in bed already, so I quietly leave a nice sack of coin on the dresser and give her a kiss on the forehead. She wakes and smiles at the sight of her boy standing there at her bedside. As I touch her cheek, she notices the bandage on my hand where I grabbed the Flayer's blade. "Oh, Cetric, what happened?" she says, all concerned. "Nothing big, just cut myself building," I say. "What did you build today, son?" she asks. "An orphanage. For orphans, Ma," I say as I give her one last kiss goodnight. "Such a good boy," she says. Her eyes tear up as she drifts off to sleep, like she's proud knowing her son's making a respectable living.
Listen up. If any of you don't die out there, I might have work for you.
So there we have the story of Set, a man who loves his mom and loves to punch people in the face and operate a fighting pit gambling ring where he makes a ton of money and then goes and lies to his mother that he loves, that he gets it from building orphanages and other community needs in order for her to be proud of him. You know, I don't think sometimes characters, like the stories and stuff, are written in a way where, like, it's trying to sometimes, like, not normalize, but what's the term? Just kind of explain away somebody's faults when they're doing good things or whatever. But it's pretty cut and dry here with Set that, like, he's doing something bad and lying about it, saying he's doing something good. But also that he just loves his mom because she's the only parent he has because his dad abandoned them. And I know that I've beaten this dead horse a lot, but, like, the whole... this is like, I guess, a fresh take on an old trope, right? Where it's like mixed race child gets bullied, and then finds his way to the top through hard work. In this case, it's most of the time, those cases, the person isn't getting to the top of a fighting pit and running a criminal underworld like Set is. So I guess that's one way that they're kind of, you know, differentiating it than what it would normally be in Hollywood movies and stuff. No mention, no affiliation so far with anyone else in Ionia, which I figured we would have more of, but Set seems like someone who probably keeps a low profile when it comes to more worldly things, not so much probably in his local community. I'm sure everyone knows his name, but not someone who seems religious, you know, to be traveling to go see karma or needing to avenge his family, you know, like Aurelia or something. He doesn't want to find his father, and maybe that would lead to him going abroad, but he seems content-ish on just operating his fighting pit. Since he worked so hard to control it, to gain the control of it. But alas, we will accept that this story will not bring us to anybody else directly, and we will start afresh next week with a new Ionian champion. And so thank you for listening, and I will see you all next week.
Hey, listen, my mama don't need to know about any of this, okay?